How's it going, everybody? I'm your host, Vincent Ackert. I'm joined with Phil Vichenons. And what episode is this?
I have no idea. Read the thumbnail.
I think we're approaching the big number 30. This is episode number 28.
And I was 30 once.
But not at that point yet.
Close enough.
But anyway, this is going to be an awesome episode. Phil, let's talk about our guest tonight.
Well, of course. Hey, you know, what we do here, we do the monster trucks on the West Coast far and wide. And one of those first names that pop in your head is this rising star. And I know everyone says rising star, but I think he's been driving these trucks for like forever at this point. He's been in the business all his life. It's really all he knows. It's motorsports and monster trucks. You can say he's obsessed with it. Tonight's guest is Eric Swanson.
Eric, welcome guys. To the show. How are you doing tonight?
Good. How are you guys?
Doing pretty good. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, we're going to start off the show like we usually do. Eric, I'm going to ask the question, how did you get your start in motorsports?
Well, I actually started at a young age. I was 6 years old the first time I raced my dirt bike. And I basically went from dirt bikes to a thing called trophy carts, which is basically a really modified goat cart. And I went from there into the monster trucks.
So, of course, we know you're a second-generation driver. Your dad is Rick Swanson. Was it always just assumed that you would drive the monster truck, or did you have other motorsport aspirations?
Like I said, with the dirt bikes, I still am super into dirt bikes. But as the monster truck thing went, I didn't really have much of a choice, I guess. So I was kind of thrown in the seat, but you know what? I wanted to do it. I've grown up, like you said, my whole life doing it and working on them and kind of just worked my way into the seat.
So what's your earliest memory from being around one of your dad's trucks?
Probably when we're rebuilding shocks, just dodging wrenches. No, I have so many memories with the trucks. I mean, even like all of our friends driving trucks, I mean, they're all a big family to me, you know. So it's kind of been an honor to grow up in the sport.
So were you a fan? I mean, I know it's in your blood, but did you enjoy watching? No.
I'm still a fan, you know. As I grow up in the sport, but I love seeing trucks. I mean, even when the other competitors are out there racing, I love watching them do their thing, you know. And I mean, I've been a pretty big fan of it.
No, I hear you there. Hey guys, if you're joining us live, I got to tell you right off the bat, make sure you like and share this video so everybody can see what Eric's up to right now and really get his story in his own words. And Eric, you know, you said you're kind of a fan. You know, you look at a lot of the other drivers, and did you take inspiration a lot from some of the other drivers, or when you were growing up? Like, I know you could say you look up to your dad, but were there other drivers that you looked up to?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I looked up to my dad, you know, I mean, he taught me everything I know about him and kind of grew me in the sport. But as I have other friends in the sport, like the Groff twins, Donald, they pushed me more on the track into, I don't know if it's a good or bad decision, but we definitely encourage each other to go a little bigger than we're supposed to.
We touched on this a little bit earlier, but we touched on you driving the trophy cart. Here's a picture of it right here. Now, what was it like driving the trophy cart?
Yeah, I actually started in my first time ever driving one was one of the FabTech sons, Ryan Winter, let me drive his for during a Monster Jam show. Actually, when they first started doing the trophy carts on the scene, and after I did that, we actually were able to get my own trophy cart, and I actually used to do like these little entry videos or entry before the show for Monster Jam. And at one of the shows in Salinas, one of the Felt's employees asked me, like, or bet me basically if I could jump the cars or not in the trophy cart. And I took that challenge and I jumped it over three cars and bombed it out so bad that the body peeled off the bottom of it.
So how old were you when you were in that trophy cart for Monster Jam?
I was 12? I honestly don't remember.
Because I'm about to say, I know you weren't over 18. Yeah. Because that's a rule now.
Right.
You broke the rule.
Yeah, it's kind of a funny story about that too, because I started, as soon as I could drive the monster truck, is when I was 18, and I wasn't even allowed to crew on the track when I was 18. So I was never really a crew guy on the track per se, but as soon as I turned 18, I was able to drive.
So if you didn't go into monster trucks, would you think like driving an off-road truck would be in your more wheelhouse, or would you just stayed on two wheels?
You know, actually, I did take a big break from the dirt bikes, and if I were to stay in it, I think I could have gone a little bit further with it. But if I had my choice out of anything, I think I would honestly do I think rally cars would be super fun to do.
So monster trucks are in your blood. You know, talk about kind of when did it start kind of rolling that you would get inside a full-size monster truck?
Well, the first time I drove it around, I was eight. So pretty early on, and then I guess I kind of just was around them, and then obviously I got to move them around, and then as I was moving around, I would unload them and load them out of the truck, and then after that, I kind of just progressed. In my first professional show, I was 14.
So where was your first professional show? Do you remember?
Yeah, it was down by our old house in California, but Paris, California was my first show for WGAS.
So what was that experience like? I'd imagine your dad was in the same lineup, but who else was there, and what was going through your mind in your first competitive event?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember all the trucks. I think Bill Payne was there. Frank Scantini was there. I don't remember all the trucks there, but I just remember a funny memory about that was I was out first for freestyle, and then Frank and Big Dummy was behind me. And he's basically like almost like an uncle to me. He's grown up. I mean, he's known me since I was born, basically. And he's a really good family friend. And but a funny story was he was behind me in his truck, and he was asking me like about if I was nervous or whatever. And everyone knows that pretty much if you go first in freestyle, you're not a favorite truck as if you were going later in the pack. So we were yelling at each other in the cabs, and I was like, "Don't worry, Frank, you're pretty much going first because I'm gonna suck this first round." But it was just a big funny joke that me and him ever since then have now.
So the name of your truck is Obsessed. You know, the team truck is Obsession. Did you have any say on the name Obsessed, or is it just like I'm obsessed. This is the name. We're going with it.
Yeah, I had a say in it, but, you know, I think it was not so much of a choice. It was just how I felt about Monster Truck so much. I was so obsessed with them. I mean, like we talked about, I grew up with it. But, you know, I mean, everything I did was Monster Truck based. So, I mean, I was just so obsessed with Monster Trucks. The name was just really fitting.
So your first event, you were 14. Doing the math in my head, you're still in school at that time. How are you balancing school and driving Monster Truck?
Well, that's what these are. These are for diplomas. No, we were able to work it out with most of my teachers. And, you know, I mean, it was tough. A lot of the, you know, like now where I actually have to work on everything on the truck. Before, my dad was doing most of the work, which was nice. And so I would fly from show to show for when I was still in school, obviously. So that, I mean, not having to work as much on the trucks is a big part taken out of what we do.
So you were a flying driver. What's that like? It just sounds so amazing. Yeah. Right?
No, it was awesome. You know, I definitely can't take for granted, you know. It was nice to be able to to crash the truck and be, all right, see you later. I'll see you next weekend. But, you know, it was a great feeling. So, I mean, if anyone wants to put me in that opportunity again, I'm all for it.
So you're flying at this point. You know, there's some certain events you couldn't compete in at the time, you know, specifically Monster Jam for a number of years. What were you doing during those events? Were you in the pits? Were you sitting in the seats?
Yeah. So when the trucks did break, I was in the crowd, and then I had like a limited band or whatever for Monster Jam. So I would see the trucks break, run out of the stands, and then go through the pits or whatever, you know, and get back to the trailer. So I can, once the trucks got towed back to the trailer, I could put the parts that needed to be changed back on, go back up to the stands and watch them hopefully not break again, but finish off the show.
So you talked about how you rode dirt bikes as a kid and then you were in the trophy cart. Now I got to ask, does any of that transfer over when you started driving monster trucks?
Yeah, actually, I would say mostly from the dirt bike actually aspect of it. Because as you watch us drive or watch me drive, a lot of my driving style is ramp to ramp, or I like to like brake check and try and get the angles right for the ramps. So that honestly came a lot from dirt bikes and judging the ramps. Like with a dirt bike on a track, to do a double or a triple, say, you need to know what speed to hit that at. And that kind of helped me a lot with the monster trucks.
So, all right, your dad's in the comments. We know that Rick Swanson's here. And if you haven't seen Rick's episodes in the archives as well, what's it like working with family?
Well, it has its good times. I mean, it's great because I could just get mad at him and walk out and he can't fire me. But, you know, I mean, it has its good days and its bad days. But, you know, as a whole, I wouldn't trade for anything.
So you have the job security, but let's say there's a big if you weren't doing this, what would Eric Swanson be doing right now?
Hopefully making a lot more money.
Oh my.
I think honestly I would I do a lot of the fabrication on the trucks and welding, notching. I think in any type of, I would be in some type of racing form of a fabrication job.
So a lot of that fab work, is that a lot of stuff that your dad taught you or just other people that were in the shop at some time? You know, how much did you learn from your dad from the mechanical standpoint?
The mechanical standpoint, I would say a lot of it came from him, but I've also, a lot of my friends at home too, and everyone in the business, obviously, I've learned a lot. I think a lot, just little pieces from everyone, if that makes sense. Just being around everyone, you learn a lot.
So speaking about learning, we have a comment from good old Levi Jones, and he says, "Hey Eric, what's been the hardest thing you've had to learn while driving a monster truck?"
The hardest thing I had to learn. That's a tough question. I think just knowing, maybe knowing where you're, you have to, I think since I grew up with it, I kind of got easier tasks than most on the concept, but knowing where the truck's at is a big learning curve, I guess, because saves a lot of parts when you know where the truck's at, but and just for everyone's safety around you, you need to know what, when you go into a corner, if it pushes too much, you could be right at someone else's truck or right at the wall, you know. So I mean, just learning where the truck, where your truck is at all times was I think one of the biggest things as a driver.
Got a lot of great fan questions and comments in here, so make sure if you have something to say to Eric, leave it in the comments. We'll definitely get to it. Got another one from Mike Menner from the Warhead Mini Monster. He says, what is Rick's rev limiter set at in his truck?
I don't know about his, but mine doesn't have one.
Fair enough.
We have another comment from Travis Groth. I think that was coming off of Levi's question. He says, how to not roll over?
What?
How to not roll over?
Is that for him or for me?
Uh-oh.
Last place I saw his truck, it was rolled over in a parking lot.
Oh man.
Those are some shots there. All right, let's see what else we got here. Well, we know you're big into RC trucks. We have a comment from Dan Agosh. He says, talk about your RC life.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the twins, they make me spend a lot of money on RC cars. But, yeah, we on the road with the twins, Donald, and a lot of the other competitors, we are definitely very big into the RC cars. Speaking of that, me and the twins have to order the new Losis that are coming out. But besides the point, we have a big all of us, I guess, here, we have a big RC following. We went to, me and Buddha went to one of the races down for Trevor that he does down in California. And that was, I mean, we had a fun time there. There was actually another guy there that has my RC car is the Obsessed truck. And it's funny because when I showed up, there was another guy with one that had one exactly the same. And it turns out he was a lot better at the RC cars than I was, so it's kind of funny. So every time he went out, I was like, hey, look, the good Obsessed is going out. So it was kind of a funny joke.
So you made your own RC truck, isn't that right?
I made one, and then now the one I have now is a Warpath, which is someone else makes it. So the one I did turned out okay, but the one I have now is a lot better. It's all carbon fiber, so it's pretty sweet.
So this might sound stupid, but does playing with the RCs translate to any, you know, success or tricks in the real life trucks?
I mean, you say a little bit. I mean, they do react pretty similar to a real truck, you know. They're a lot more fun. They don't hurt as bad either. But no, they're the Rigs and Rods game that a lot of us play. We like to mess around with that. Sometimes we've learned some tips here and there on, you know.
So we talked about your first show. Let's talk about your first Monster Jam show. What was that experience like?
I don't even remember what happened. I'd say, as my first few shows with Monster Jam or career, you know, or first season, it went really well. Really kind of just followed everyone's footsteps. You know, I mean, I knew I'm not going to go out there and win anything, you know, but it was good. It was fun. Kind of just had to feel the truck out. Never really took it off that scale of jumps, you know, that big of jumps. So, I mean, it was fun. It was a good experience, that's for sure.
So you're lining up against, you know, Gravedigger and Max D. Is the pressure just get a little more intense? It's not like the fairgrounds where you're racing and beating Wrong Way Rick every week. Now you're up against Gravedigger. So is it a little more stressful at the starting line?
I remember I raced Dennis when my first time. I think it was my first or second year into it. And, you know, when you race someone like that, I mean, it doesn't get much bigger, you know. See, obviously the nerves definitely kick in. And, but as like when I used to race dirt bikes, I don't let like the pressure get to me too much, you know. But I think racing those caliber of people, you know, it's definitely, you know, it's the only place you're going to do it. And I mean, you're on the top of the world in a sense when you're racing them, you know.
We have another question here from Travis Palm, and he says, any plans to come to the Midwest for Monster Jam or independent shows?
I mean, when we go out there, we can't just get one show and drive all the way back. I mean, the fuel, we can't make it work price rise. But as long as we can get a couple of shows out there, we're definitely game to do it.
So you've been a lot of places. What's the coolest place you've been with Obsessed?
With Obsessed, honestly, I mean, all the places we've been to, I mean, we've been to Mexico. That's definitely an experience in itself, going down there, seeing how that is. We've been to Canada with it. I think I don't know, but honestly, my favorite spot I've raced at was probably the Vegas track, in Samboy. It was one of my favorite races.
And we'll talk about that. Yeah. Go ahead, Vincent.
I was going to ask, so who are some of your favorite people to race against, independent or Moss Jam? Who would those people be other than your dad?
Right. Yeah. My favorite people would be definitely the twins, because I don't know why, but every time me and Tyler race each other, one of us crashes for some reason. But the twins are definitely one of my favorites. Donald, me and him have a long history of races together and have fun together. Bill Payne, we always both lay it out on the line. Those would honestly probably be the top. That those are probably the worst for pressure wise, because I know if I lose to any of those guys, they're gonna talk trash on me later. So it's probably one of the worst.
I tell you, there's a lot of great comments and questions that are keep on coming in. We got another one from the infamous Buddha. He says, believe it or not, last show we were at, Wrong Way Rick beat Eric twice.
Oh, no.
We had a bad judge there.
A bad line judge. All right. Fair enough.
The line was crooked.
Well, all right. Another comment from Wrong Way Rick. He says, ask him if he remembers where his first rollover was.
I think that was in Mexico. Pretty sure. Yeah, we were in Mexico, and there was a single car stack there. And each time I hit it, I was hitting a little bit faster. And this was back when I first started, so I was like, oh, I could hit it faster. What's the worst that could happen, right? So I hit it. The rear steer line blows. So only the one rear tire hits it. I roll over. And we roll over, get the truck back flipped over, and so we're in Mexico. It's sort of safe there. So as we roll back over, all the fireworks go off, all the ashes are landing on all of us standing there. So it was definitely an experience.
I got another comment here from the old red truck, Jeffrey Fielding. He says, hi, Eric, watching on the East Coast, had a scooter out the other day.
Oh, yeah. So that's a fun story. So Jeffrey, all the people from Bad Company, basically our whole entire tour got that. They have these like Lime scooters you can rent in San Diego. And we're like, well, that'd be fun if we could just buy one from someone, you know? So we find this guy in Temecula, I believe it was. And he brings us, I don't know, it must have been 40 scooters. So we buy all these scooters. I mean, you gotta remember, this is our whole tour is riding these things down the street in downtown San Diego. So I mean, it was definitely quite an experience. And then we take all our scooters on tour. So then we go to El Paso, and we all wanted. This time it was just Jeffrey's group with him, Steven, Richie, and Buddha and me, and we all in El Paso. It's on the stadium's like on a hill, kind of. So we're all racing down this hill. Richie looks back on the scooter at all of us, hits an extension cord on the ground, tumbles over the handlebars, gets all scraped up. It was all banged up for the next show. It was pretty funny.
Oh my. That's what happens on tour life stays in tour life sometimes. I got another comment here from past guests. I know it says Deborah, but it's actually Rick Corsio, and he says, knowing Monster Trucks, would he ever want to build tracks? And does he remember the music video for the French singer that won The Voice in Victorville when he broke an axle midair, losing a wheel?
Yeah, I do remember that. So that was a couple years ago now. But it's kind of funny he says that, because on tour, when we went on Ed Beckley's tour, we were me, Travis, I was running the water truck most of the time. The twins were doing the tractors. Not sure what my dad was doing. I think he was recording YouTube. But we were actually building the tracks ourselves, and it was kind of a great little gig we had going. So it was kind of fun, actually.
So I got another comment here from Travis Palm, and he says, what was the backstory behind switching the body from the modern Super Duty to the older-looking Ford body? And I would throw one in between, because you had a trophy truck body in between that. So what's the process from changing body styles?
I guess we'll start with the trophy truck one. That was when we did the, I don't know if you remember, I'm sure Phil remembers, he's a Monster Truck fan. But we did a Robbie Gordon Monster Truck series when he did his stadium trucks. And we wanted the trucks to just look a little bit different, more like the off-road kind of truck look. So we went with the trophy truck body. And I ran it for a couple of years, but we had the bodies, those bodies would fall apart easy when we just like from landing. So they were really thin. So we kind of steered away from those for a little bit. And I think I went back to the Super Duty body after that for a little bit. But going to the F100, I actually have a street truck that's a full pre-runner. I mean, it has all long travel on it. We built it in-house, and it's a 68 Ford. So we were kind of kicking the idea around. We're like, well, it'd be kind of cool to have, once that's done, to have the Monster truck look exactly the same to it, you know. And Steven with Tim Mente, he has a street truck that's an F100 also. So any F100 out there, it's either me and Steven, and kind of the backstory on that.
So yes, I do remember Stadium Super Trucks, because I was there. Of course I was. What was that like? I mean, it was such a unique series, and it didn't get to last too long, but you were a part of a majority of the events.
Yeah, luckily I was able to do a lot of his races, and it was definitely, it's kind of funny because it's more of a dirt bike kind of track he set up. So I was like, for me, I was like, hey, we might as well try it. It's kind of cool. We had a lot of over-unders there. And a lot of his tracks were concrete and steel ramps. Instead of using dirt, they just built aluminum ramps they were jumping off of. So that was pretty cool. And then we went to the LA Coliseum Forum, and it was a big step up through the arches in the Coliseum. And I believe one of the trucks took off a couple of tiles, because it was so tight. I mean, we had like 3 inches on each side. It was insane.
So what do you say has to be your favorite body you've ran on Obsessed?
I would have to go with the F100 for sure. I mean, when we first debuted it, it had everyone. I mean, it seemed like everyone was talking about it. So, I mean, and we stuck with it. And we just recently changed it to a new design. So I think we're going to stick with it for a little while now.
We have a question here from Buddha. He's back. And he says, are you and Tyler still going to build the 3-seater truck? Oh, man.
That's top secret information right now. well, me and the twins are in the works of a little something. So we're going to try and get that project out soon.
Oh, boy. We see nothing. We saw nothing. We know nothing. But another comment from Buddha, and that's something where I want to go to next. You know, you've had a lot of key victories in your career. What was it like winning in Anaheim for the first time?
For the first time, that would have been a freestyle victory. That was one of really memorable things for me. It was my first stadium win, you know, so it was really cool. And actually, another cool factor in it, Dennis was there, so it's kind of cool to be able to say I beat him, you know. But yeah, it was funny that I would say the winning jump that I did was a big transfer from when they used to do the big pods in the middle from the corner all the way to their side. And me and Donald actually had a bet. We had so it's from the corner pod all the way across past the step up of it. And he's like, "There's no way you can clear that." And I was like, "Yeah, you're probably right." And then when I got back in the truck, I was like, "I have to do it. I did, because if I do it, you know, he has to do it." So it's kind of a funny little thing about that.
And you did it, and you won. So that's props to you. right, yeah, of course. One thing that was interesting about a lot of your Monster Jam statistics is that you would consistently have a big win every season. Even this year, you had a big racing win. Was that always something you kind of kept in the back of your head, that you're always very consistent and you're always winning at the right times?
Yeah, you know, I always it was funny, but when we were rebuilding the truck for this last year, I always try and set a goal. Like the previous year, I said, no matter what, I want to try and win a freestyle, a stadium freestyle. And then this year, my whole goal was just to win one racing one. Just because I've done okay in racing, but it's not my freestyle or like the best trick has been my specialty normally. So I was really focusing on racing, trying to get at least one win, and I was able to get it. So it was pretty good.
Yeah, you talk about best trick being your specialty. And you recently started doing moonwalks or stoppies. So what was that learning experience like?
It was good. Luckily, with doing all the fairs, I would set up my own kind of, I guess, like a popper setup, you know. So I got to learn a lot through the fairs, training during before Monster Jam, you know. So when I went into Monster Jam, I was a little bit more, I mean, not more prepared, but I was on their level of being prepared, I guess you could say.
Well, part of the preparation, another comment from your dad is talking about your equipment. You know, that's probably why you want everything, but I don't know. But, you know, the equipment holds up very much so with a very specific move, and that's the backflip. What was it like doing your first backflip in a monster truck?
Well, you know, we went into the first show and it all kind of, the backflips kind of started, you know. And my dad's like, "Well, I've never done one. I have no clue what to tell you." So I went and asked, I don't know if it was either Adam or Ryan, whoever was at that show. And I asked Todd, a couple of people that I know have done them and done them successfully, you know. So, and they gave me kind of the whole kind of how to do it, you know. I mean, there's a way to do it, but I mean, it's a 50-50 shot pretty much. So I kind of got some tips from them. And then my first one, actually, it went pretty well. I just broke a front tie rod, kind of landed on the front end a little bit. But the first one surprisingly went really well.
What did your dad have to say?
Don't crash and good luck.
Oh, man. Well, you know, that's I'd love to see Rick do a backflip one day. That'd be really cool, like a father and son backflip thing. Or, yeah. I
don't know, right. Well, we both know that's not going to happen.
Oh, okay. Well, he's called you out. This is never. He says never. Well, you know, I've been in the monster truck business long enough to know to say never, say never.
So. Okay, Phil.
Yeah. Okay, so you're building a lot of wins in your Monster Jam career, and there, you know, there's kind of a level where you want to reach, and that's to get to the world finals, specifically at the time the Young Gun Shootout, but now the Showdown. Was that a goal for you to make that competition?
Yeah, you know, when I first got asked for it, it was an honor. I mean, it's not everyone that races Monster Jam gets to go, you know. So just being able to be noticed, I guess, like them wanting me to go, you know, it's awesome. The first year kind of sucked at it. I messed up in the chicane and then lost first round. But Luckily, we're invited back, and I got second place there, so that was awesome, you know. But yeah, you know, just being able to get the invite is an honor in itself.
Well, I want to go back to that night in 2017 where you're running through the bracket, you know, because we're laughing about it now. What was going through your head, you know, as you're winning round by round? Were you keeping track? Were you starting to feel the pressure that you're that much closer to getting into the world finals?
Right. Well, and as I was doing my whole goal there, because that first year I did so bad, I was like, if I just make it past first round, I'll be happy. Like, and that's all I really cared about. And it was funny. I remember talking with everyone. And I was like, just don't tell me what round. Don't tell me I'm in the finals. Don't tell me I'm in the semifinals. I'm just like, I'll go and I'll just do my rounds. I don't even want to think about, like, if I'm getting close to the end, basically, you know. So I just ran my race each time, and it was funny, the last race with Tristan. I was like, you know, this is like, I was like, I know he was running good times, and everyone was running good times, and I was like, I know this is the final round. I'm just going to do a Hail Mary pass. And, well, that kind of got me in trouble. I clipped the wall in the chicane and then tumbled down the straightaway. So didn't really work out, but I mean, I can't be mad about second place. It's not too bad. Can't hear anything he's saying.
I'm muted. All right. Hey, Eric, do me a favor and rejoin and join back in the stream. You sounded like a robot a little bit.
All right.
So, well, Eric is going to rejoin. Let me tell you a personal account from that night in 2017, because I was running one of the timing systems that night at the World Finals. And I remember setting up kind of the same mindset as Eric, where as long as he just gets one round win, that's a win in our book. And I remember he went out there, he beat Bailey Shea, Scooby-Doo, round one perfectly fine. I can go home happy. Good World Finals weekend. Then he goes out there and he beats Jared and Eichelberger and Max D. And then it's like, oh, my gosh. It's happening. Like, this is crazy. Semifinals, he beats Ryan Disharoon and Saigon Shaker. Now he's in the final round. And at this point, I'm like shaking. I'm an emotional mess. Like, this is crazy watching Eric. He's running through the bracket. And then maybe my favorite part, somebody had to record this. They interview Rick in the pits. And I don't even remember who the host was in the pits. Give me one second here. So, just open the link. We're trying to get Eric back in here. And try to get robot mode back in gear here. Anyways, so they interview Rick in the pits. And I don't even remember what the question was the host was asking. And at this point, everybody was like thrashing on the truck. The thing was like spitting fluid out or was running hot or whatever, and everybody was finding water bottles just to get that truck running. And I remember them asking Rick whatever question, and Rick just pauses and he's like, I'm just so proud of my son. And it was like, oh, it was like a lifetime movie moment right there. I'm trying to get Eric back in here. And then, as Eric said, he went tumbling down Thunder Alley in the final round, and it wasn't meant to be. I was miffed, but it was an emotional roller coaster, and I know we can joke about it now because, you know, it goes on. So, Eric, I was just telling everyone my personal account from that World Finals night where you almost won the showdown.
Oh, yeah.
I was an emotional mess. So, you can go back in the tape. Yeah, and here we are. We're still here. I can't believe it. Gosh darn. But, yeah, no, that was a cool moment, and I think that opened a lot of doors for you, too, to kind of keep your star at a high level, and you were continue to remain consistent. Do you still have aspirations to make the World Finals?
Yeah, I mean, as long as if we're invited, we're there. But, man, I think throughout the Monster Jam career, if we can get it, we'll be there. But if not, I mean, we're still – Still trying for wins and doing good, you know.
Hey, that's all that counts. Let me see what else we have. Got other comments in here. Oh, I know we have a lot of our mini monster dads in here. I saw one way back from Lee Plato. He said, what's it like now knowing that a lot of the kids that you kind of mentored when they were kids are now going to be racing against you in full-size monster trucks?
Yeah, you know, it's fun when we're at the, because a lot of the mini monster trucks are at the fairs we do, you know. And it's fun because all the drivers talk to kids into going over like the bigger obstacles, and the dads always get mad. They're like, don't go over that, you're gonna break it. Like, oh, you're fine. So it's kind of a funny joke, but no, it's really cool, you know, knowing that they're kind of looking up to us, and they always like a lot of the mini monster truck drivers like to sit in the trucks, and I mean, we don't care, you know. We I've at least for me, I've been in there wanting to sit in the monster trucks when I was their age, you know. So it's kind of a cool aspect, I guess.
So I know the mini monster game really didn't exist when you were a lot younger, but I'd have to imagine that you would have been in a mini monster had, you know, the timelines lined up, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, I think I definitely would have. That's what in a sense, kind of, I think that's what the trophy cart kind of was for me, because I was able to be by myself, jump something, go as fast or slow as I want, you know. So, I mean, I think that was kind of my mini monster truck stage.
We have a question here from Fernando Martinez, and he says, what mental or mechanical preparation is necessary for you to feel the most comfortable inside the truck?
We actually have, we call it pre-racing. So it's a huge checklist we carry, and we go through top to bottom, all the oil, all the fluid levels, make sure everything's torqued right, make sure, I mean, just completely go through the truck. So as a driver, knowing everything's checked off, everything's solid, it's a good mind state, I guess, for me at least.
So, for those that didn't know, you guys moved. Let's talk about the new shop. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I know, it's awesome. It's 6,500 square feet. It's a lot bigger than our old shop, that's for sure. So we want to start doing a lot more projects out of it. It's a lot colder here. We're up in Idaho right now, is where we moved to. But yeah, it's a lot different up here. Where it's a real small town, so it's definitely a different atmosphere for sure.
So what's it like knowing that you now have a practice field?
Yeah, we actually have. So it's mostly weeds right now. We haven't got much done in the yards, but we want to do a monster truck, like a little pod setup, a little test track. And I'm still into the motocross a lot, so I want to do my own dirt bike track. And then we also were into the side by sides a little bit too. So we wanted to have like basically three separate tracks for everyone to come over and hang out and mess around with. And the twins are supposed to be bringing their tank. I don't know what's happening with that, but that's supposed to be coming. So we'll have a lot more YouTube content, hopefully.
Oh man, that's exciting.
Teach, I'll get to your question. Somebody's spreading lies here. Don't worry, buddy. But since we're talking about the YouTube channel, what's it been like creating YouTube content? Do you find it difficult, easy?
We've actually found a lot of our followers or subscribers, they kind of want to see more of the hanging out, I guess you could say, more of them, like, because at first we're kind of doing more of the show, but I mean, they can find the show anywhere most of the time on YouTube, you know. So we've been trying to focus a little bit more on like the joking around or just hanging out or what we like playing with RC cars, just having fun, you know, or showing the people what we do besides just the racing, you know.
So I have to imagine, you know, in where we're at now, building a brand on social media and a presence online can be so difficult. What are some ways that have made yourself stand out from the other drivers in monster trucks?
Yeah, I think as a brand, we actually do a lot of birthday parties with kids. So we'll bring a truck to their house. They put the YouTube channel on their TV. So I mean, we'll get a following from all the little kids or even sometimes the parents, because they'll have the YouTube channel on their TV in the house. And then we also try and do a lot of giveaways with our clothing line and our sunglass sponsor. And we try and do, I guess, more of the giveaways seems what drives people to us a little bit too, you know.
So your dad commented saying obsessed wear. Let's talk about some obsessed wear. So how did obsessed wear come about, and where can people get some obsessed wear?
Yeah, you can get it through our Instagram. It's just ObsessedSwear. And then also www.obsessedswear.com online is our store. And we have a bunch of different lines of shirts. There's a couple, like, there's the monster truck ones, and there's a couple ones with sayings on them. And then we have our sunglass sponsor. We have a signature series of the monster of the obsessed. So you can get that, all that there. It's been going good so far, but that's where you can get all of the obsessed gear.
So I know we talked about, you know, how you stand out in such a competitive field. One of the big things that you guys in Obsession Racing are kind of known for, always having your trucks in commercials and music videos and other areas of media. What have been some of the more enjoyable experiences doing things like that?
Yeah, you know, I mean, we get to meet a lot of cool people with the TV stuff. I did, not too long ago, I did America's Got Talent, and I met Simon, and he was actually, everyone says he's all like this mean dude or whatever, but he was up in the truck with me for probably about an hour almost. So I talked to him for a while. He was super nice. We talked to him. He liked the F-100, the theme to it, the old truck. So, I mean, that was really cool to meet him. I mean, we met a couple other really cool people in the film industry, and it's definitely a different, it's funny when you go do these commercials, you do this tiny little jump and these guys just freak out, like, because they've never seen us or a monster truck do anything ever. So you do this little jump and they think it's the craziest thing. It's kind of funny to see their reactions. Does he know we can't hear him?
Yes, I do now. I'm a rookie, don't worry. No, I'm not. I just act like it. That's why I interview people like you. So, okay. So, the last music video that you participated in, who was it for and what was that like?
The last one we did, I think, was the, I think it would have been the Young Gravy one. We did that at one of our good friends, Jeff's house at the Blackmore Ranch. And, He's a really nice guy. He has a really cool compound. He's really into the dirt bikes. He has a bunch of dirt bike tracks all over his yard. But yeah, that one was really fun. He rode in the monster truck. We did like this little lap around his circle track, and it was a pretty fun experience. I mean, it was an all day thing, like normally it is. And then it was funny, right after that, we went to another show that same night, and on the next day we were racing. But it was a fun time for sure.
So you've driven a lot of different trucks in your career, and I have the list. Of course, you knew that. I'm gonna read off a bunch of them. So the first one being Wrong Way Rick. You know, that's one of the team trucks in the stable. What's it been like driving a backwards-facing truck?
Yeah, as it's an identical truck to mine. So as I guess how it handles and stuff like that was exactly the same. But it's funny when you go up to the crowd just to like drive by or like to wave or whatever. It's funny you see everyone look at it, and then like the next second you see everyone point because they realize like what has really happened, like how the body's on backwards. So it's kind of funny to see everyone's reaction to it, but as driving it, it's the same as mine. Well, I mean, not as good, but it's pretty close.
Well, another body that's been on your truck was Bigfoot. How did that come about?
What happened was the guy driving Bigfoot blew up the transfer case in his, and we didn't have the bottom gears for the T case. And so instead of, and in the contract, they needed Bigfoot to run. So we're like, well, we'll just put the body on my truck. And I mean, my truck technically doesn't need to be there, you know. So we put it on my truck, and it was really cool to say you drove Bigfoot, essentially, you know. It was funny, too, because when I, in the intros of that show, when they introduced our truck, they cheer or whatever. And then when they did the Bigfoot one, I was like, man, these guys never cheer this much with my other bodies on. It was funny.
Bigfoot power. Let's see. Yeah. You're like one of like 50 people that have driven Iron Outlaw. What was that like?
So that's an older Patrick that the cradle and I believe the shock mounts got redone. So it was a similar truck to like what the Wicked Strong one is, my old truck. And the shock package is a little bit different than mine. So it was felt a little bit different than my older one, but not too far from it.
You also drove Troublemaker. That was up in Canada.
Blew it up too. Yeah, we Tyler's wife was having their baby, and so me and Travis drove up there, and that was a fun experience. There's a guy that went with us named Seth. He has the tow monster truck. And he's an interesting individual. He's funny though. He's a good guy. But we had a lot of fun driving there and driving back. And I was racing Jim Kohler, I believe, and it was my first ever throwdown show. So it was obviously big jumps, big obstacles there. But we had a lot of fun. I was racing Jim Kohler, and I blew up Trav's motor and. Put a hole right in the oil pan, so that wasn't good. So I was out for the next day. I believe it was the next day. And it was a fun experience, though. I mean, running with Elliot was definitely was really fun.
And I'll make this the last one. You drove Hooked on the TV tour, the Fox Sports 1 tour. What was that like?
That was fun. Steve and Steven, they're good, really good guys. It's funny, before I went out, I was talking to Steve Sims, and I was like, because I've seen how Steven drives. He drives it hard for sure. So I was like, how do you want me to drive this? Like, do I drive like Steven, or do you not want to break a lot? And he's like, you just have fun. And I was like, okay, what is that? Like, you could have fun both ways. So, it was kind of funny. He was real easy to work for, real easy to drive for. We had a good time. It was a good experience. I mean, it was a solid truck. No complaints with it, that's for sure.
So all these different trucks you've driven, is there one truck out there that you would love to drive?
Honestly, I think mine is so set up for my driving style is probably the honestly the one I've liked the most, being able to drive everyone's different trucks is seeing like if I could drive someone else's and they have something that's a little bit better than mine by like more whatever else of mine I like more, but we can kind of take different tips and different feelings from other trucks to put them towards our truck was kind of a cool experience to me.
Another past guest we have in the comments is Juan Munoz. And Juan says, you've driven Maniac as well. So what's the backstory behind that?
That one, Dave Smith owns. And that was a funny story because I actually broke my truck. And I believe it was a kingpin that got messed up. And we had the parts, but we couldn't fix it in time for the next show. And so I was like, well, my truck's out or whatever. And Dave Smith, actually, I believe he hurt a rib. One of his seatbelts came loose and got kind of jarred around. And he's like, here, you want to drive it? And I was like, yeah, sure. And it was funny on his truck. We actually had to tie a piston off because he blew up the motor. So as I was going for all the different jumps, it was shaking so bad. Like I could barely hold on to the steering wheel. But it was definitely a fun experience. I mean, I'm glad he was able to trust me with his truck, But yeah, it was. I remember Juan was there. Juan was actually helping me work on my truck.
So I see that some people are asking about this in the comments. Has there been any talk about maybe a diecast version of the New Obsessed or Wrongly Rick?
We are in the works of it, but since the whole pandemic happened, it kind of got put on a hold. So hopefully, when things get a little bit more back to normal, we'll get it out there.
Another one of our past guests, it's David Tucker, and he says, geez, Eric, wish you could drive my T-Max. Show me how it's really supposed to be aired out.
Now, he does a good job of airing it out. We do a show in sublimity, and he definitely hits the bus pretty hard like the rest of us. But all he has to do is give me the keys, I'll give it a shot.
Oh, man. All right. Hey, I think it's that time of the night where we show more pictures. It's a segment we call, I don't know what it's called anymore. Show me that picture. Name that photo.
That would be explain that photo. Episode number 28.
I'm getting old. That's a big number.
Well, we're going to bring up the first picture. Eric, explain this photo.
I didn't hear you guys. Say it again. Am I in it?
We've brought a photo up on the screen, and we want you to explain that photo we have on the screen right now.
Eric, you're cut out again. Why don't you rejoin and come back in?
All right.
Well, pull that picture up. We'll talk about it.
We'll talk about it. I believe this is actually a hero card. Hero card, Phil. You want to talk about that?
This is one of my personal favorites in the collection. This is, and I'll let Eric kind of explain a bit here. You know, at the time, he was the world's youngest monster truck driver. That was a very big deal, and I guess he had a deal with his orthodontist, and the orthodontist had these at his front desk, and a couple of them are still floating around, and I have one upstairs in my room with all my other Obsession Racing gear, so
I walked away.
Yeah, I like it, man. That's a favorite one, man. So a lot of people don't realize when Eric got into it, you know, he was really the world's youngest at the time, so that's such a big deal, you know. Being so young, I mean, there's so many people that get in the sport that are like three times the age of him, so it's a big deal. All right, Eric, can you hear us?
Barely.
Uh-oh. Well,
it's kind of fuzzy.
Well, we're going to keep trying. We're going to show a picture, and you're going to have to explain it to us.
All right. So that was the Erickson orthodontist. We actually did some with sponsor work for he did all my braces, and we did a little trade out for a sponsorship, and we did a little like open house, I guess you could say, for his orthodontist office. So that's how that came about.
Got another photo coming right at you.
That was in Tacoma. So that was, what did they do, four shows there, I think?
Four, probably five, yeah.
Too many.
Yeah. And that was, I think, after the second or third day show. And, yeah, basically ripped the whole champagne off, and all the shocks came off with it. Pretty much just left everything on the track of that corner.
Well, there you go. Here we got another photo.
So that was right when we... Or pretty soon after we got the trophy cart, we took it to there was a Lake Elsinore dirt bike track by our old house, and they had a short course truck track, and that's where we took that. But the funny thing about that is, it's a long tabletop, but the trophy cart is so slow, like out of the gate, I started like way back, and I turned like, cause there was a turn right before the jump. So I started way back and missed the berm, and like, so I just have a straight shot for the jump so I could clear it, but I was still like barely getting it. It was funny.
Here we have another one, and this one was sent in by Juan Munoz.
What is?
Looks like you and your dad.
What was that? Can't remember. What's that place called? Right out, is that Bakersfield? I don't know.
I'd assume so.
Yeah, I think it's
Bakersfield. Everything's cyclops, everything's red.
Yeah. That one
help me, Juan.
A bad show. We Juan showed us a good burrito spot, actually. So we got burritos and stuff over that show, and I think something everything Let's went pretty well.
And they confirmed in the comments it was Baker's Guild or Baker's Field D. So you're right.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
So that was after I obviously graduated. We drove, I drove the truck to, that was a marquee sign at our school. And because our house was right around the corner. And we, so I drove it there, and there was a, I had an F-350 that was lifted on pretty big, they were on 40s. So it was pretty big tires. And I had a cop, and he would literally pull me over every day after school to just, I don't know what his deal was. I don't know if he was just like jealous he didn't have a lifted truck or what, but every little thing, like one was the tires were too wide, a bunch of this stuff, right? And so I drove the monster truck from my house to the school, and when the newspaper guy got there, he's like, how'd you guys get it here? And I was like, I drove it. And he's like, you're going to drive it home? And I was like, yeah, pretty much. And it's funny because the cop's name was Barry. And I was like, I sure hope Barry's not out, because he's probably going to arrest me, because it's my regular truck, he pulls me over every time. So it's kind of a funny little thing. That was a long time ago. I have no clue where that's even at.
But it's in Tucson. Tucson, Arizona.
Is it? And obviously, I'm sure Phil knows that's Bigfoot. But what Bigfoot is that, Phil?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know chassis. I know it's big, it's blue, and it's a Ford. So that's all you need to know.
Maybe someone in the comments could help us out.
No, I thought you're supposed to know all the trucks.
No, I don't know chassis. I know body.
Come on, Phil.
I don't know
better than that.
I'm gonna leave now.
All right, bye.
Do we have any more pictures?
Well, that's the end of the photo segment right there.
Oh wait, well pull up that picture I just sent you on the in the line there. I'll leave it up.
We have a lot of explaining to do with this one.
Oh god. Yeah. So those just recently came out. But I don't know if they're. I think they're just coming to stores. So I haven't got a list on what stores yet. But yeah, we're really excited to see them in the stores.
They're cookies, and who doesn't love cookies? And that's also 6'14" that you were standing in front of. Yeah, but I don't know. I tried. Hey, so at the time we're recording this, we're on the heels of the 2021 season starting, and you have the very unique opportunity to go out and perform in Salt Lake City for Monster Jam. Very interesting times we're in right now. What's it going to be like coming to the line in Salt Lake City in 2021?
You know, I think that's going to be a good feeling, you know, good to be back in the truck again. We had a little break since the COVID stuff happening. And I think, honestly, I think all the drivers are just happy to be able to be back to driving again, you know. And we've had all this time off to make sure the trucks are all good, make sure everything's ready to race, you know. And I think as for me, I'm excited to drive again. It's been a little too long.
So what are your expectations for 2021 as a whole? Do you have any big plans? Anything you can give anybody any hints on?
I wouldn't say any, not too many surprises per se, but we're definitely, each year we're progressing in the truck as a team, you could say. But I think as the next year comes about us, we just want to do the best as we can and just be there, you know, just to give us our best effort.
Hi, it's me again. We'll talk about some of the interesting people you hang out with on the road. I know one of them you look up to a lot is Donald Epidendio with Titan. Do you have a good Donald story you can share with us?
Okay. I don't know if it could be on here. a funny story me and Donald did. We were where was it at? It was one of Bill's shows in what's that area called? It's a big speedway he does. I can't remember the name of it. Stockton, that's it. Yeah, so in Stockton there's a big speedway, and me and Donald, I forget what we're doing. We're just hanging out. We noticed there was a bunch of like supercars across the street, and they were doing, they had like all these cones set up or whatever. And we're like, well, let's go check it out. See what it's about or whatever. And we walked over there. And apparently it was, you can rent like a supercar of your choice and race it on this like little track that they had set up. So not only did me and Donald talk the guy into giving us, we paid half price for the car. And normally you can only rent one car and race it or whatever for like the five laps. We rented three cars for the price of half of one car. And we got to race like all these supercars. We took the one to the gas station and the guy's like freaking out. So it was definitely a funny story with him.
Eric, I'm going to ask you kindly one more time to jump out and jump back in.
Okay. Sounds good.
Robot Jones over there. Just want to make sure we can hear him right at the end as we start to wrap up here with Eric Swanson. If you guys haven't already, make sure you like this video and you share this video across on your social media so everybody that maybe wasn't listening live can jump in and hear a lot of what Eric has to say. I know a big thing of having Eric on here tonight was specifically having just Eric on. And I know I was talking with Rick a lot. They do a lot of interviews together, and a lot of people kind of combine their stories. But it's not, you know, they're individuals, and especially a guy like Eric who has already made a name for himself. And I say rising star, but he's pretty much a chiseled veteran. So that's why it's important to have Eric tell his story in his own words. And that's why as much people can hear it tonight, they can enjoy it with us. Eric, I was just saying so many wonderful things about you.
All right.
So I know you told a good story about Donald there. Do you have a funny story from being on the road with the one and only Buddha, Michael Keller, that's in the comments right now, your crew chief?
Let's see. We have a lot of funny stories. let's see. Let me think of one real quick. Trying to think, what would be a funny? What's a good Buddha story? Honestly, I don't even know.
That's okay. There's no good stories about Buddha. That's all you have to say.
Buddha's not funny.
I just can't think of one right now.
That was it.
Well, Buddha, you escaped this one unscathed because he says I'm in danger.
Oh, well. Oh, well. But, hey, do you have a good story? Okay, go ahead. Nope, he's got one. He's got one.
It's the one he just called me. So we're all in our – so when we go from the shop to work or from the house to the shop, we have, like, our living room is where we, like, eat all our meals at. And one time we're I forgot. We're like telling like ghost stories about the house or something. And our lights in the dining room are on a timer. So so we're all sitting at a table and the one light turns off. And Buddha freaks out, jumps out of the chair and runs across the living room. And it's like basically through the front door because he thought it was a ghost behind the light. It was hilarious.
Good job, Buddha. Yeah. We got one in there, buddy. I'll ask one more story. Do you have any good, funny stories from being on the road with your dad?
Funny stories. So when I was pretty little, before I started racing the trucks and stuff, we had to go, I forgot where we're going from, but it was basically we had to go through a blizzard of snow. Yeah. Yeah, and we so like I was just a kid, like I was like just sitting up front with him or whatever, and I look over at him and it's like white knuckling, like bending the steering wheel on the semi, like looking through the window, and I was like, what's wrong with you? And he was, the snow was so bad, he was like basically just trying to keep the semi in a straight line. So it's kind of a funny story. About where we always joke with him, because when I was a kid, I was like, why are you eating so much? So now we know when he gets nervous, he eats.
That doesn't come as a shock to me. So, hey, that's we'll leave it at that. Hey, you know, you've done a lot in your career here. I know as we slowly wind down here tonight, What has been your favorite moment in your career thus far?
My favorite moment. I think one of the probably one of the coolest like things or feelings, I guess you could say, is when after I did the racing win against Adam, was seeing the video of everyone, like all the my dad, like all my crew, and even like the other crew members, like basically cheering us on in the win. And I thought that was pretty cool for everyone to be like, as in a sense, like in my shoes, you know, in the same feeling.
So for the 2021 season, actually in the 2020 season, you guys had the Obsessed YouTube channel covering shows, which I know a lot of people liked. Do you guys have any plans for that for the 2021 season?
Yeah, we definitely want to keep it going. It kind of died out a little bit with our move. We've been so busy moving, we haven't had time to film too much content. So hopefully with the next show coming up and hopefully a couple more shows coming up in the future, we'll definitely get some more content out to everyone.
So one of the recent things that has been going on is the Hot Wheels drive-thru. So what was that experience like setting your guys' trucks up?
It was almost like a family reunion. I mean, all those drivers we normally see at fair times, but we never like really see them all at once, you know? So it was awesome. It was fun. We all got to set up our trucks for, I think, the 2 days or whatever it was, and kind of just got to hang out. And it was kind of funny because all the drivers sat around and watched Bigfoot, I think Bigfoot 5, the tall one get tired up. And it was funny. We were all just like little kids watching it, just because we've not a lot of us have seen it get actually tired up in person. So we were all curious to see how it kind of worked, you know? So it was kind of a cool thing to see in person.
This is going to be my final question of the night. What advice do you have for someone looking to get in the monster truck industry?
I would honestly say if you're young, start with some type of racing background, because once you get into the trucks, it really does transfer over. I mean, like we talked about before, knowing where you're at in the vehicle or where the vehicle's at is obviously a big part of it. And just getting to know the feeling of going fast or catching air. But yeah, I would say start with anything racing, like, or going fast, and kind of work your way up. Maybe contact the independent team or Feld to try and kind of get in to be seen, and then kind of just work your way up the ladder.
So Eric, you know, I keep calling you a rising star, but I also keep calling you like a chiseled veteran at this time. And you've accomplished so much in your career already. So I'd have to ask, when it's all said and done, what do you want your legacy to be?
You know, I've always been wanted to be known for not so much, like obviously like the Obsessed name. Obviously, I want to be at least a little bit known, but I also, more of my aspect, I would want to be the type of type where someone would want to see not so much the truck, but the me as a person be driving, if that makes sense.
No, I totally get that. And I do have one last question. It's from my buddy, Brian Anger. And he wants to know, how do you spell your first name?
Oh, man.
E-R-I-C, no K.
There you go. I asked that because you may or may not have spelt it incorrectly on a different podcast earlier this year.
Oh, really?
Well, Eric, you know, I always like joking with you, man, and it's always fun to hang out with you guys and to see your star grow. Like, I generally get so excited when you go out there and you win an event. Like, I feel like I'm driving the truck whenever you're winning something. So I always get so pumped when you guys are in the area. So yeah, I always enjoy it. What'd you say, so Vinny?
Definitely love seeing them compete. Arizona State Fair, you name it, always a good time, and the Swansons are around.
Well, Eric, do you have any parting words here? Where can people find you on social media and whatnot?
Yeah, we have, my Instagram account is Swanson103, and then our team one is Obsession Racing, And our YouTube channel is Obsession Race Team, and those are our major components, I guess, for reaching out to us.
Well, there you have it. Eric Swanson, the star continue to rise. This won't be the last we'll be talking with him, I guarantee it. Eric, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you, Eric.
Well, that was Eric Swanson. You know, I always enjoy hanging out with Team Swanson at all the events. That's probably when I laugh the most whenever I'm around Rick and Eric. So super cool to have Eric on here to tell his story in his own words and really a unique perspective. I think a lot of times you hear Eric's story from Rick's perspective because it's always Rick and Eric. But I think tonight was very important that we hear Eric tell Eric's story.
Definitely awesome getting, you know, Rick individually, and then now we had Eric on. Like you said, great to hear both sides, and this won't be the last we'll see from Eric, I'm sure of that.
Or Rick. I'm sure it'll be Swanson's on here sooner rather than later. So, hey, that's another episode in the books here. You know, a word we use a lot on here is experience. You know, what's that experience like? Well, I hope you had a great experience being on the podcast here with us tonight or wherever you're listening to it, because you could be listening to us on our audio only feed. If you haven't been doing that, that's where you can find some of our past episodes. Actually, all of our past episodes, I should say. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Stitcher. I forgot, we were on radio.com. We're still on radio.com. Pandora, wherever you hear sound, we have the podcast. So if you're on the go, you're at the gym, you're on the plane, you can listen and download our podcast, audio only. Our entire video or archive is there. The video archive is here on our Facebook page. Just go to the video tab, live podcast episodes. You can see all of our past episodes, including the episode we did with Rick Swanson. You can also rewatch this awesome episode with Eric Swanson. And if you haven't already, make sure you should like and share tonight's podcast episode. We want to make sure anybody that may have missed our episode with Eric here tonight, they jump in. They get to hear Eric's story, enjoy, and have a great time with us. We're not slowing down. We say that every week. We keep rocking and rolling. Vincent, what do you say?
I got one last sentence before we sign off, and that's episode 29 is coming right at you next week.